And we welcome you into this place, into our hearts, Lord, to come and to have your way in us and through us. Holy Spirit, we love you. There is none like you. So we submit our hearts and our lives to you. We say, come, fill us, mold us, shape us. God, I ask for strength today for those who are facing many challenges and many hurdles and struggles. We ask for hope, Lord, where there's been no hope. We've asked for life, where there's just been struggle and pain and turmoil. Lord, I pray for healing for those that just need a touch from you. I pray for refreshing, Lord. God, we let go of everything, our grief, our stress, our offense, our bitterness. We give it all to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, there is none like you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I absolutely love the presence of God. And there is no rush. We can just rest in Him. So, and I just feel like he's speaking to us this morning. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. So we're just going to camp here for a few more moments. Welcome those of you who are online. We're glad you can join us. And we pray even in your living room or your car, wherever you're watching, that you would be touched by his love today too. God is alive. He's at work. And so, Holy Spirit, we want to take a few more moments to rest in your presence. And God, I pray that in these moments that you would bring dreams, that you would bring direction. I pray for creative ideas, God, in how to reach people for you. God, I pray that you would give us a heart for the lost, a heart for those who don't know you. God, we ask for your eyes to see and your ears to hear. I pray for wisdom, Lord, for those who need wisdom. The many decisions and challenges or things that we face, God, we pray for wisdom. You tell us that we can ask for it and expect to receive it. So we ask for your wisdom. Lord, we ask for discernment. Teach us, God, how to pray. Teach us how to connect with you. Teach us how to engage our faith with you. Teach us, Lord, how to walk with you. I encourage you, just talk to him this morning. Whatever's on your heart. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the invitation that we have to come to know you. Help us, God, to lay down everything today to walk with you. I thank you, Lord, that you are near to the brokenhearted. I thank you, God, that you bring strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's been a few weeks since I've gotten the chance to share. Hopefully I'm not rusty yet. And I just am thankful to be home. I'm thankful to be able to be with you. And I love this church. I honestly love just the openness and just the desire for him that's here and the freedom that's here to worship him, to pursue him. So thank you for being you. And I just, this morning, because we got back from holidays Friday night, I have not had a chance to keep going into Acts chapter 6. We've been working and preaching through the book of Acts. And so we'll get to that, back into that next week. But I started just before we left on holidays. We had a team from YWAM here who were here for a week, and we had an amazing time with them. And one of the nights, one of the prayer and worship nights, I started sharing a message that, I don't know, just the Lord had put on my heart. And so I want to kind of hopefully complete that today and just walk through it. And so it kind of fits, actually, I feel like, with where the Lord is leading this morning and what he's doing. And so if you have your Bibles, open it to Luke chapter 14. And I just feel like God is inviting us into a closer place with him. He's inviting us to get to know him more and just walk in another level of intimacy with him. He is near to the brokenhearted. Amen. He is near to those who struggle. He's near to those who are just in desperation of purpose and direction, and he is calling us to get to know him. And so it's interesting, he's actually promising us everything. There's just one little thing with that, is that we actually then have to die to ourselves. We're promised everything, but we have to give up everything then. And so there's a story that we're going to read in Luke chapter 14. And it's this story where, let's read it together here. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." And another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." A large crowd was following Jesus, and he turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it?" I'm going to stop there. Do you mind going back to that first slide? I read this story a few weeks ago, and it's been on my heart, just kind of, you know, sometimes you read something in the Bible and you've maybe read it 100 times, but it just jumps out at you. And I feel like the Lord's been speaking to me through this story a little bit. You know, we have been invited to get to know him. We're invited to actually have communion with him, to actually know his heart, to know God personally. And this story is reflecting the invitation that was first extended to Israel and to the Jewish people. And now it's extended to Gentiles. And of course, there's lots of imagery in this. There's a lot of covenant imagery and terminology in this story. But we are invited to come into covenant with God, to actually come in under his covering, under his protection. And we've talked about covenant many times before, but you know, there's a threshold covenant. When you enter into someone's home, you would come under the protection of the host. And so they would look after you. They would provide for you. There's this whole concept in Middle Eastern culture. We talk about it today, like make yourself at home, right? You've ever heard that phrase, make yourself at home? And we think that just means, you know, sit down, be comfortable. But in Eastern culture, I mean, if you are standing there admiring a painting on their wall, often they'll say, "Here, take it. It's yours. What's mine is yours." That's the idea of coming into covenant with someone, coming under that threshold, is that everything that they have, they will, as the host, they will actually protect and provide for your needs as if you're a family. which is interesting. And so in Canada, if you try to walk out with somebody's 60-inch TV after having supper, they might have something to say. But this kind of thing is common, and still actually today in Middle Eastern culture, when it comes to covenant and the way that they think and understand, this is how the Bible was written. And so Jesus is talking about this, like we are invited in to dine with God, to actually know him personally, to come into that place of actually eating from the food that he gives us, the daily bread. Amen? Are we okay? And so, as I was reading this, it just struck me, you know, these are perfectly good excuses that people have. I just bought a field. I got it inspected. I just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I have a wife now. I'm not even going to go there. But you know, we have many good excuses that, or just busyness, life, that keeps us from actually walking into the intimacy and the closeness that God has designed us for. We are actually designed to be near to him, to actually know his presence, to know his love and his goodness. And there are many good things in life. Our kids, our grandkids, our jobs, our hobbies, they all are okay. But when Jesus is calling us, will you come? We have to be careful that those things don't become more important, that those things don't take the place of the walk and the intimacy with God that we are created for. You know, it's in that place that when we actually live the relationship that God designed us for with him, knowing his heart, knowing his voice, that we operate at our best, that we actually find fulfillment and purpose because we're actually walking in the closeness that he made us for. When we step further away from him, we struggle because we are not walking in the covering and the path that he designed us for. Does that make sense? And so when I read this story, it just is the picture of, you know, we are invited and yet Jesus is saying, but count the cost. It sounds all wonderful. And many times we've been told that, hey, just invite Jesus into your life and it'll all be perfect from here. And that's not true, is it? There is a cost. There is a cost to making him first in your life. There's a cost to saying, Jesus, I will follow you no matter what that looks like. There's a cost to saying that, Jesus, I'll put you first in my life. I'll be, you know, as a parent, it's a challenge because we have to say to our kids, there are things that you can and can't do because we want to love Jesus. You can't just go watch that show with your friends. You can't just have that video game. You can't just spend unending time doing this or that because we want God to be a part of our family and a part of our life. And so we also teach them, like, as a parent, it means that I have to be purposeful and say, I want you to learn the Bible. I want you to learn how to pray. I want you to learn how to engage your faith. That's on me. And it takes work, but it's my job. And as a son of the King of Kings, I have to say, Jesus, I want to be watching TV right now, but I feel the call, I feel the tug in my heart. I actually have to shut this off and pray. I need to spend the time that you're calling me to spend with you and actually submit my life, my time to you. How many times have you been invited to something and then something else comes along and you're like, I kind of want to go to this instead. And many times God is saying, will you come? Will you spend time with me? Would you get to know me? And then this and this and this person calls and this happens. And it's easy. I think if we're honest, we've all been there where we've felt maybe the Lord tugging on our hearts to pray, calling us to fast or asking us to spend more time with him. And in those moments, it never fails that those are the days that this happens, that something goes wrong at work, that somebody's relationship is falling apart and they phone you and need help and all these drama, whatever, things stack up and you're like, but God, I have this and but God, this is happening. And we have to learn, even though it might be good things to say, God, I am going to make room to follow you. That's really easy to say from here. But have you counted the cost of what it means to follow Jesus? What it means to be his disciple. When he talks about how you have to actually hate your mother and father or brother and sister compared to loving him or even yourself, what is he saying? Is he saying that you actually have to hate your mom and dad? No. What does it say in the Ten Commandments? honor them, right? So he's not actually saying to hate them. But by comparison, God needs to be number one. Above, and as a parent now, it's probably my kids that I look at that I have to be careful that I don't make them a God in my life. I need to love him above everyone else. Matthew 10:37 says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. We're called to be all in. You can use whatever term you want there, pedal to the metal. All in, we're going for it. And that's what it means to walk with him. Full bore, sold out, all the eggs in the basket. In John chapter 6, Jesus asks his 12 disciples, John 6, 67 to 69. Jesus turned to the 12 disciples, and he says, are you also going to leave? Now, there's a big stretch in here. I didn't want to read it. It's like 50 verses long, this story. But at the end of it, Jesus turns to them and said, are you also going to leave? And Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. And I believe that that's God's heart. Is he's looking for us to say, we have no plan B, Jesus. We are all in. And we want to follow you. Earlier this spring, I was fixing some fence up in the hills. And I had a certain amount of time. I had to be back for my daughter's recital that was going to be streamed online, her dance recital. And I remember I came to this spot and there was a slough. And I thought, if I could get through the slough, I save like 15 minutes. If I go back the long way, you know, it'll be tight. So I think every guy can relate to this. At some point, whether it's been in a truck or a car or something you've been driving, you've faced a snowbank or a mud puddle or whatever, and you've had that moment of, am I all in or not? Can I do this or not? And so I flipped on the four-wheel drive on the quad, and I thought, I can do this. And so I gunned it, and I got halfway through, and all of a sudden the bottom underneath fell out for me, and I was buried, completely buried. And so I wasn't dressed for being in the mud. And I remember I took off some clothes. I had to go digging in there just to get at the winch and then get it out. Thankfully, there was a log. I was able to pull myself out. I got home just in time. And then I spent, after the recital, 3 hours cleaning the mud out of every corner of that thing. But there is something about the idea that we have to be all in. We come to that place where in our life, we say either I'm all in, Jesus, or we're out. But we can't walk that lukewarm life, or we will learn, we'll actually step into religion instead of relationship. We start criticizing and looking at rules instead of walking with the heart of God. And that's why Jesus hates lukewarmness. Does that make sense? We spend a lot of energy and money and effort to actually try and live, and to try and live longer, and to live better. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not bad. But the end result is that you and I, we're all going to die at some point. And Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. We wear a cross, you know, around our neck, many people. And we, you know, it's a nice symbol. People get a tattoo. But it actually is an image of pain and torture. And it's a terrible way to die. And so the fact that Jesus is saying, pick up your cross, is illustrating that it's going to cost you something to follow me. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. So what does it mean to die to ourselves? What does it mean to actually choose to lay down our life for Jesus? There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about putting others before yourself. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about being humble, about being kind, about the way that we treat others, and also about the way that we surrender to God. One of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 13. I just did a wedding in Manitoba. You read that at every wedding or hear it at every wedding you've been to probably. But one of the things that it says in there about the defining love is that love keeps no record of wrong. So when we talk about giving ourselves and picking up our cross daily to follow Jesus, it means I have to keep no record of wrong. It means that I have to actually love other people. It means I actually have to forgive. The Bible says forgive so that you can be forgiven. That's the kind of stuff he's talking about. If you want to die daily, if you want to pick up your cross daily, that's the kind of thing that we're called to do. Not just, I mean, I'm glad you're here, but church isn't what it's all about. The church is you anyway. I think we learned that in the pandemic. It's not a building. But God cares about your heart and the way that you treat others, the way that you do relationship with others and with him. Many times we become a Christian and we think we have rights. I can judge, I can criticize, I can, you know, because I don't know where we get that from, but it's honestly, it's really bothered me in the pandemic how I've seen it's like, especially online, people feel like we have this license to attack other people. And that's not God's heart. Whether it's online, behind a keyboard, or face to face, we are called to love. If you look at the Apostle Paul, you know, he was a rising superstar as far as religious leaders go. He had it all. And this is what he says in Philippians 3. He says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. You know, the Apostle Paul knew the law more than probably anybody else. He's one of the most respected. He was mentored by the best leaders in the religious, in the Jewish religious faith at the time. And yet he went from all that and said, I want to throw all that away to actually know Jesus. It's more important. And Paul paid a big price tag for that. You know what the cost for him was? He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was jailed. And eventually he was killed for believing in Jesus, for following him, and for preaching the good news. It has always been a challenge for humanity to walk in intimacy with God. It just has. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, the Israelites said to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we will die. They didn't want to go through the challenge, the effort of actually walking in the intimacy that God wanted for them. They said, Moses, you go do it. And sometimes we look to our favorite YouTube preacher or Sunday morning as a pastor and you say, well, you tell me what I need to do. You tell me what I need to know and I'll try and do it. We always want to know, what does it take to get an A+? And God is saying, I want you to learn to get to know me personally. That's his heart. Earlier this, I think it was last year, I shared a message on, I'd read a book called Canoeing the Mountains. And it, kind of the idea in there is it's a leadership book, but they were talking about this illustration of Lewis and Clark, how they're commissioned to find their way by water across the states to connect the Mississippi to the Pacific. And if they did, it says in the book that it'd be like inventing the internet, because just the amount of wealth for trade, and the idea was this is a gravy train if we can find our way through here. And many groups had tried and many had failed. And so Lewis and Clark were commissioned to go. And so they were good at canoeing. They were good on the water. And so they built these canoes, they had their expedition, they headed up the water. And what they assumed in their head was, they'll get to the mouth of the Mississippi and then it'll just be a little hop, skip and a jump downhill stream off into the ocean. And what they discovered was there was this little obstacle called the Rocky Mountains. And so they got to the end of the river, the mouth of the Mississippi, and they discovered that everything that had just worked well to get them to there was now useless. You could use the canoe for firewood, but you didn't want to pack a canoe over top of mountain peaks. And I think to some extent, as you know, like the church in North America as a whole has been dying. And we have relied on old ways of doing things and trusted in programs, which are all great and everything. But what is God saying? What is God calling us to do in the future? Because it's going to look different. It's going to be different. And if people are going to come to know Jesus, we're going to have to change the way that we do things, because relying on the old ways just hasn't been working, has it? And maybe even personally. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, if you've ever been married. Your relationship with your spouse isn't just amazing by accident. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes effort. Not just by one, but both of you. And with God, it's no different. There's some things that we think that, well, maybe just accidentally one day I'll wake up and I'll know God more. I'll actually understand his voice. You know, we actually need to take the time to press in and to say, Jesus, I love you and I want to get to know you. I want to open your word. I want to experience you. So some things we may personally have to change to get to know God more. And can you just tell yourself this for a second? I will not be condemned. I am not going to condemn myself. Okay, good. Because sometimes we ask questions like this. It's easy as the guy speaking to, you know, say all these nice challenging things, and it can come across, you know, kind of condemning, or like I'm any better than you, and I'm not. And I'm not trying to condemn you, but I just want to provoke you to think and to ask yourself, where am I at? Where's my heart at? Have I been just relying on the same old thing? Do you get up and do the same thing every day in your devotional time for the last 5, 10, 20, 30 years? Do you, not that that's bad, but what is God saying? Because sometimes it's easy, again, just like Israel, it's easy to rely on tradition, it's easy to rely on religion, it's easy to rely on, well, this is what I've always done. But when it comes to like intimacy with God and walking with him, sometimes we just need to pay attention and say, Lord, what are you asking me to do today? I can't rely on what happened yesterday, other than I know who he is and his word never changes, that I can stand on. But reading 5 verses out of this book and 3 verses over here and praying a few minutes, that might have been wonderful yesterday, but today maybe he's asking you to do something different. Does that make sense? You know, like sometimes he's just asking you to smile and shake someone's hand and bless them when you're at the grocery store. And tomorrow, it might be something different. And today, he might be asking you to spend extra time with your kids or your grandkids and be purposeful about teaching them how to pray, how to hear God's voice. And tomorrow, it might be, let's take them for a ride on a canoe and have fun. But what is God saying? What is God saying to you today? I'm going to quit there. So would you bow your head? A big long story in John chapter 6 that I mentioned. It talks about Jesus offended many people. And he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In fact, in John 6:66, it's quite the verse. But in that verse, it talks about how many people walked away. They had just seen Jesus multiply food. They had just seen miracles and many wonderful things happen. But when it came to the challenge of actually walking in intimacy, walking and knowing him, many said, no, I'm out. And I just want to encourage you that I don't know what this next season holds, both politically or anything in this country. We don't know what's going to happen with the pandemic or whatever. We just don't know. That's okay if we can put our trust in God. But what's worked in the past isn't necessarily going to work in the future. And what we have been able to rely on in the past, we might not be able to rely on in the future. We need to know him, and we need to be walking with him. And I just encourage you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come, and we're going to have communion together this morning. And I just encourage you to just place your heart before the Lord. Wherever you're at today, just say, God, I want you. I want to know what you have for me. I want to be effective. I want to be fruitful. I want to actually walk with you and do the things that you've called me and designed me to do. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to be like, those are the things that we can pray about. But ask him specifically, God, what are you asking me to do? What do I need to change? Can I grow? How can I get to know you more? I don't want to be stuck in a rut. I don't want to lean on the past. I want to say, Jesus, what is your daily bread? Just like in the desert, he gave the children of Israel manna for that day. He didn't give them like enough for a month. I don't know how many of you are hoarders, but lots of times, you know, we want to gather, fill the freezer beyond overflow. Then we just buy another freezer because we got to have enough, right? And there was this picture of like, we had to be able to rely on him every day for that next amount of food that we need. So what's he saying to you this morning? We're going to sing a song and take communion together. But take a few moments, let him speak to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do deep work in our hearts. And God, I feel like I'm just preaching to myself, I don't know, today. But I desperately want to know what you're saying for today and for tomorrow, for myself, for my family, for us as a church. God, we want to be fruitful. And we don't want to miss out on the moment. And we want to say, Jesus, I say yes to your invitation to come and to dine with you, to feast with you, to know you. I say yes to following you, which means that I have to die to myself, that I have to die to my rights and my offense, my anger, all that stuff. I have to give it all to you. But I say yes to you. And I say yes to your love, to your salvation, to your hope, to your freedom. I say yes to all that you have for me today. And Lord, I pray as a church that you'd speak to us. I pray for each family and each person here, Lord, that you would speak to us. Help us to hear and to see what you're saying and to understand that it's a daily walk and it's a daily picking up our cross and also daily receiving that bread from you. That spiritual food, the spiritual life that you have for us, because you have so many thoughts for us, towards us. Your thoughts towards us outnumber the sand and the seashore. You're not thinking the same thing that you thought yesterday, the day before, and the day before. God, you're full of life. Help us, God, to experience that life, I pray today. In Jesus' name. So we're gonna sing this song, and I just encourage you, take a few moments to examine your heart and to prepare for communion, and then we'll take communion together.